Say amen.
Amen.
Well, that was good stuff. That, if you're not ready tonight, you're messed up on the inside. I mean, I should be able to just sit down and you should be running to the altar. If you're not saved, you should be getting saved. If you're not right, you should be getting right. Somebody say amen.
Amen. And,
I'm glad you're, now am I too much? I got a little echo here. Don't turn me down. Don't do that. Just get rid of the echo. Amen. Amen. I want to keep them awake. They already are alive. Keep them going. Amen. I'm glad to be here tonight. I want to say thank you to Longview Baptist Church for all that you've done. You've treated us well since we've been here already, and we expect nothing less in the days to come. You've given us a nice place to sleep and plenty of food for our stomachs and this kind fellowship and friendship, and we want to say thank you for that. And I pray tonight that once again God would meet with us. I believe he has met with us. And the reason why he's met with us is because you've been looking for his presence. And so I want to say thank you for that. I enjoy spending time out today just walking around and just watching the ladies interact and just kind of see. You know, it's good to see people singing and enjoying. But when they get out in the world, you want to make sure they're still Christians. Amen. And I think they acted kind of okay. We'll work on them as this week goes on, but no, we sure do appreciate them. We got a chance to spend our opportunity with preacher and his wife, and I thank God for him just deciding to do work for the Lord in this place. And thank you again tonight for being here. Now, I don't want to prolong you. I don't want to just keep you. I want to get right to it. I believe tonight we need to get to the Word of God. Take your Bible and go to the book of Judges. And while you're looking for the book of Judges, I just want to share something with you that God laid on my heart. I told you, God has so much he puts into my heart, and I only get so many times to preach or say some things. So I like to throw things out there when I'm preaching and when I'm talking to you. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 1, the Bible says all of a sudden there arose a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to take and keep the children of Israel down. He wanted to stop them from growing. He wanted to stop them from overtaking everything. And as I was looking at that one day, God put this question in my heart. And here's the reason why Pharaoh did what he did to them, because he was afraid of them. He was concerned about their presence in the land of Egypt. And God put this question in my heart, and I want to throw it out there to you tonight before I get started here in the book of Judges. Is the devil afraid of you? You know, many of us don't realize this, but the devil is not afraid of all of us as Christians. He's not scared. Watch this. He's not scared because you're in church tonight. He's not upset because you've heard those songs being sung. Listen to me. I'm telling you something. He's not afraid when you get back to your house about your children getting closer to God. He's not concerned about that. But when the devil is concerned, when the devil is afraid of you, the devil starts doing some things trying to keep you down. See, because anybody that decides to live godly will suffer persecution. Many people say, well, nothing's going on in my life. I tell you why, because the devil's not afraid of you. And if the devil is afraid of you, there's a reason why he's afraid of you. When you go over there to Exodus chapter number 1, you'll find out some things about the children of Israel. One of them is they had faith in God. He told them to kill all of those babies, and they said, no, we fear God. We're going to do what God has asked us to do. I want to know, does the devil believe that your faith is worth fearing right now? Or is he looking at you saying they really don't have? And by the way, Hebrews 11:6 says without faith it's impossible to please God. And so we got to have faith. But the devil is looking at a lot of us tonight and saying that person right there, no need to even be concerned with them. They have no faith. See, when you have faith, you will pray. Amen. When you have faith, you'll believe in God for him to do something. Somebody say amen. See, the devil's not concerned because many of us don't have faith. Oh, we read the Bible, but the truth of the matter is this. We read it, but we don't believe it.
Right.
And even if some of us believe it, we don't heed it.
Yeah.
Devil said, I'm not concerned about you. I'm not concerned about your faith. I want to know tonight, and this is by way of just getting into this thing. So many things I want to say, and I love Pastor Fisher. I appreciate him. But the devil needs to take and see a church here at Longview Baptist Temple. I mean, church that he is afraid of. I said the wrong word, I know, but Longview Baptist Church that he's afraid of. And the only way he's going to take and be afraid of this church, I fear, is this church has faith in God, that God's going to do something with his word. That God's going to do something with a family. That God's going to do something in a life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You want to know why the devil? I ain't preaching yet. I'm just talking. Want to know, is the devil afraid of this church? He's only afraid of a church that is fruitful.
That's right.
He wasn't afraid when there was 70-something down there. He wasn't afraid when there was a few hundred. He got afraid when he started seeing the number, and they say somewhere between 2 million and 3 million possibly getting ready to leave Egypt. He started looking at things and said, hey! Is the devil afraid of this church? The devil's not afraid of this church if fruit's not being produced. Amen.
Amen.
If souls aren't being saved. Amen.
Amen.
And I ask you the question again. Now watch this. You say, well, the devil's afraid of our church, but you are a part of the church. And I ask you the question, are you producing fruit? And not just fruit coming up, but fruit that remains.
Amen.
Is the devil afraid of you? Hey, the devil's not afraid of some of us. You don't have faith. You don't believe this stuff. You're not producing any fruit. And here's the other thing the devil said. Oh, Pharaoh, he said, you know what? We got to do something because these guys may rise up, join with our enemies and fight against us. Is the devil afraid of you? No. Because he goes, you say, oh, stop. I wish the devil would get off my back. Amen. Some of us quit, right, because we've got a little pressure in life. Some of us give up on what God's asked us to do because some little hurdle comes that we've got to jump over. Devil said, I'm not afraid of this church. These people won't even fight. Would you fight?
Come on, that's good.
Amen, somebody. And I'm getting up, I'm getting toward where I'm trying to go here tonight. Would you stand on what this church stands for? Would you stand on that good old King James Bible? Would you stand on those scriptures? Would you stand on separation? Will you stand on soul winning? Will you stand on a sanctified life? Will you stand when everybody else is saying, that's old fashioned?
Come on.
Amen.
Hey, man, we need a church today that the devil is afraid of. I got to be honest with you. He's not afraid of me probably that much either. Not just by myself. Now, he realized he got to stop me a little because, again, especially the position that I have in the church. But I'm telling you something. When he sees it like this, he sees this one coming with me and this one coming with me and this one coming with me. And, hey, don't sit down. We're in a fight now. Come on here. And this one coming with me and this one coming. And then all of a sudden, the dad is coming with me. Do you guys know what happened when your preacher sees this? He goes like this. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. But the problem is this, is that when the preacher starts saying, bring it on, here's what happened to the crowd. Hey, are you willing to fight for what's right? Amen. That's good preaching, whether you like it or not. Somebody's got to stand when everybody else is surrendering. Well, if you don't want to fight, you go home. 22,000 said.
Right.
22,000 start tiptoeing away. Did he say we didn't have to go? No. Yes, right. He said you didn't have to go. See you. Wouldn't want to be you. Come on, somebody. Man, I better get to preaching here. What kind of church is this? Is it a church that the devil is really afraid? He's not afraid of you pretending.
That's right. Amen.
He's really afraid when you are standing and fighting and have faith and being fruitful in this land. I ask a question tonight as I try to get into the message. How afraid is he of you? And here's the thing about it. I hear so many of you shouting right now. Come on, stand right here. You can come on back too. Come on. But I'm going to tell you what the devil's waiting on. This generation right here. See, the devil found out something about some of us. He found this out that many of us will stay. Listen to me. When he got ready to finally leave, here's what he said. First of all, why don't you guys just leave in Egypt? Why don't you guys just worship in the land? And the devil knows that some people will agree to worship in the land. And then he says, okay, don't just worship in the land. I know that's not going to work. Why don't you just make sure you don't go too far? Remember Pharaoh talking to Moses about the children of Israel leaving? I shared it the other day. Moses said, we got to go 3 days, 3 days, 3 days, nothing less, 3 days. But he says, some of you, and by the way, that's what happened. That's why he's not afraid. So we just worship right in the land. Or we just make sure we don't get too far away. Old story is told of a boy who kept falling out of bed. Finally, his mama went in the bedroom and looked at him and said, and he said, Mama, why do I keep falling out of bed? She looked at him and said, you stay too close to the edge. That's what some of us, we're too close to the edge. Hey, do you know, listen to me. If this is the dividing line right here and right is the right way and left is the wrong way, why do we want to go right here? Why don't we go all the way over here? Because if I do fall, guess what? I haven't fallen over the line that takes me to the wrong side.
Right, right.
But if I just look like I'm looking to look, and by the way, the line is moving in society.
That's right. Yes, sir, it is.
And what Christians have done, if the line moves here, we look and say, where was I? Where was that line? Oh, it was right there. Now it's over there. Guess what?
That's it.
But see, the thing you don't understand, you haven't crossed the line of the world. You've crossed the line of God, though.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because I am the Lord. I change not.
Amen. That's good. That's right.
So don't go too far. Then he says this. Listen, you adults go, but just leave your kids. Because if you leave your kids, guess what? You're coming back to me anyhow. That's what's wrong with some homes today. The kids have been left in the world while the parents are going off trying to worship.
That's good.
See, we got to stop being like Eli. We got to stop letting Hophni and Phinehas run their own show. Somebody's got to go. Remember Hophni and Phinehas who was supposed to be taken over for daddy, but the Bible said they were wicked. They were like the sons of Belial, not the sons of Eli. Hey, every once in a while, what we need to do is look at Hophni and Phinehas and say, boy, we don't ride our bump ponies like that. We don't turn our turbans like that. We don't let our robe slip like that. Pull that robe up, boy. Don't lean on that camel and turn that turban around. Amen. Hats was made to keep the sun out your eyes and not off your neck. I know I'm right about it. I might preach myself out before I get there. He says, leave the kids. No, but then he finally said, tell you what, take mama, go ahead on daddy, take the kids, but just leave the animals. Leave your possessions. God, you all right as long as you're talking to me, but when you start talking about my stuff, we got problems. But I want to tell you, I'm concerned about this generation. The Bible says in the book of Judges, chapter number 2, and I'll go back and read it, there was a generation that knew not the Lord.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. You can be everything you want to be right now, but if you're not what you need to be in the future, there won't be a Longview Baptist Church. It'll be gone. Go ahead and have a seat, young man. Father, we love you. We just pray right now you'd help me to preach the word. For some reason, dear God, the old devil's trying to get on me right now, trying to take over and control of this old voice. But I'm going to still holler. I'm going to still give my all because I've got something to say about a God that's been good to me. Got something to say about a Savior who took my life one day and saved me from a burning hell. got something to say because of a Holy Spirit that dwells within me. And I'm asking you, dear God, empower me now. So the people hear your words and not hear this old voice. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just real quickly, the Bible says, Judges chapter number 2, verse number 6, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Dear God, again, please empower your word. Help me. I hope there's somebody here, Father, that's saved, that's going to change some things tonight. I pray, dear God, for those that are here that are not saved, will come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. Pray, dear God, those of us that call ourselves leaders will understand, Father, the responsibility we have here in our local New Testament churches. Help us, dear God. Please, I beg you, help us, dear God, to not give in to the fashions of this world. Lord, and I realize that there's nothing wrong with everything in the world that is not wrong. Lord, there's some things that we've allowed in the church or we've stopped in the church that's going to one day cause us not to have the kind of church that's shouting tonight. The kind of church that recognizes the Savior like tonight. It's going to happen, dear God, if we just let up on some things. Please, Father, help me tonight. Share this with Longview Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Got so much I want to say, but I realize I can't get to say it all. But I want to say tonight, as we get into this thing, what has happened by way of just bringing you up again. Children of Israel, of course, are out of Egypt. They've now gone through the wilderness, and now they're in the promised land. They, through the book of Joshua, they've gone in, brother Brian, and they fought the different battles and wars. Of course, we know they started in Jericho and Ai, and they just kept going and going and going until finally everybody was able to get a little piece. Now, the Bible says this, that there was still much land to possess. Still a lot of land to possess, but one of the things is that they finally was in the land that God promised them. Joshua 1, verse number 2, God promised them that he would give them that land. Here's the great thing about it. When God makes a promise, he never, ever fails. Amen?
Amen.
Whenever God says he's going to do something, he always does it. Somebody say amen. Here's the good thing about it. I'm standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Amen. I realize this, that sometimes he takes and holds up, Brother Brian, but he's always going to follow through with what he says. Many times the reason why he holds up is not because he doesn't want to, but because I didn't do what I was supposed to. Amen? And sometimes he kind of lets up on that. But when God makes a promise, he always follows through. So now here they are in the promised land. And in the book of Judges now, and the Bible says, of course, at the end of Joshua here and at the beginning of Judges, that Joshua dies. And then all of those that were around with Joshua, who maybe outlived him a little bit, the Bible says they die. And then next thing you know, we've got this new generation on the scene. They're not dead yet, physically. But they're sure enough dead spiritually. And then you look at the book of Judges, you'll find out early here in this chapter what makes them so dead. What makes them become that generation that didn't know the Lord? Now, understand something. Joshua dies. Those who outlived Joshua that understood something, they're dead. And now we've got a generation that does not know the Lord. Here's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't take long for this to happen. It don't, it's not going to be 200 years down the road. Listen to me right now. These babies right here, if we don't keep this thing right, they won't be a church here that knows the Lord. There may be a building standing that was still Israel.
Right.
There may be some rituals going on. They still made different sacrifices. They would forget some, but they'd go back. But all of a sudden, this generation does not know the Lord. Why is that, preacher? I want to help you real quick. Again, I tell you, this is a message God has given me for you, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Why would a Longview Baptist Church become like the generation in Judges chapter 2? I'll tell you why. Please get this. Because we forsake some things. We start forsaking some things. We start leaving off some things. See, what happened was is that the old preacher and Brother O'Neill, I'm so glad you're here in church tonight. And I told you I was miserable. I was glad you were here tonight because maybe you can be a witness for me here tonight. What has happened to our churches? We have left off doing some of the things that we used to do a long time ago. We've stopped some things today. We act like it doesn't matter anymore. What happened over there? What did they forsake? What did they leave off? What did they resign themselves from and say, we don't have to do it that way anymore? I'll tell you what happened to them. You read over in chapter number 1. You keep reading this. Well, let me just get it to make sure. Because there's a lot of places I marked so you can understand how often this was going on. Look at verse number 21. Verse 21, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites, the inhabitants that inhabited Jerusalem. Verse 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bashan and her towns. Verse 28, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelled in Gezer. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Verse number 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko. Verse number 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh. What went wrong here? I tell you what went wrong here. And what's going to go wrong in this old church here if we just take and wait a little while and don't do or resign for what God said to do? What did he do? God challenged them to take the land. I'm telling you what's going to happen with this generation. The challenge is going to be gone. Because what we do is we try to find other ways, Brother Brian, to do what God told us to do instead of doing things God's way. See, God said, go ye and teach all nations. He said, go and preach the gospel word to every creature. He told us to take and be witnesses for him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Hey, you want to know why this church won't be the same? Because people here today are not taking the challenge that God has given all of us.
Amen.
You're supposed to be a soul winner.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, preacher, we just don't do it that way anymore. You take a look at it. What did they do? Instead of driving them out, instead of taking the land, they begin to say, tell you what, just dwell with us just like you are. God said, listen to me. God didn't tell us to dwell with them just like they are. We're supposed to go out there and change a life, amen. What's wrong today? We have forsaken the challenge that God has given to us. They say back there in the first century, they had evangelized all of the known world. And we can't even evangelize the known neighborhood. Come on, somebody. I told you Rock of Ages Baptist Church started because I went to Daryl Greer and I said, Daryl, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And Daryl didn't know, and I sat down, and my wife is here. She sat at the table with his wife, and I shared the gospel with him. And Daryl was the first convert of Rock of Ages Baptist Church. And for 18 years, we've still been going. We've still been doing. We've still been taking the challenge of conquering the land.
Amen.
God's gotten that thing all over me. We don't just do it in Fallon anymore. We're 26 miles down the road to Fernley. I'm praying over 50 miles away to Lovelock. We started another one in Hawthorne, 72 miles away. I don't know how I'm going to get around the United States, but I sure know one thing. I can get around Northern Nevada and do what God called us to do. What's wrong with our churches today? Some of you sitting here on your blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Yeah, you got it now.
Right.
Take up 18 inches of pew, and all we really need you to do is go maybe knock two blocks.
Right.
Help us make a difference.
Amen.
What's wrong today? The challenge. You could go by people, won't even take a track out. Oh, I know why we can't. We don't even have any. We don't even have it. And I'll be honest with you. I've been caught off guard here also myself. I don't want to just give them a tract from Rock of Ages. How about giving them a tract from Longview Baptist Church?
Amen.
How about inviting them to church? The challenge is gone. And when the challenge is gone, guess what? We have a generation don't know the Lord. Why? Because of the mixed multitude finally. Because we're hanging out with them instead of hanging out with him.
Amen.
Amen. What's the problem? The challenge is gone. What's the problem? I tell you what the problem is. The connection is gone. The connection, what connection? The connection that when you disobey, there's consequences for it. The connection when you disobey, there's consequences for it. Judges chapter number 2, verses 1 through and 3. Jesus, God, God, rebuked them. He rebuked them and basically told them, there's a problem because you didn't do what I told you to do, so I'm going to leave these people here to get at you. Let me just tell you what, listen to me. The connection between disobedience and consequences is gone. I could preach to you till I'm blue in the face. And if I ever turn blue, you know there's a problem.
Amen.
If I preach to you, I'm blue in the face, and you don't do something, something's wrong. You don't get the connection between the disobedience and the consequences, the sin and the chastisement of God.
Amen.
You know, people come to church and people invite them, and I guess this family was invited tonight. Were you invited tonight to come here? And I told you were in the wet zone. Now you get it, don't you? Amen. And they come and they say, I hope today, preacher, you don't go off. Does it look like I ever go off? I'm so kind and sweet, why you want to come to me and tell me not to go off? By the way, if you ever tell me not to go off, I'm going off. But they come and say, preacher, please, I got visitors here today. Just don't go off. Here's the sad thing about it. I can go off and blow my stack. And people look and say, that was good today.
Yeah. Come on.
That was all right today.
Right.
And they don't realize I was right in there. I didn't get right there in it, but I was right in their face, right down their alley, jumping in their drawers.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And it didn't even bother them.
Right.
See, we're concerned about people being upset because the preacher preaching the word of God. But I'm concerned because people are not upset. Amen. People are not stirred. People are not afraid anymore. What's wrong with this generation? I tell you, the connection between disobedience, sin, and the chastisement and the consequences coming from God. God rebukes them. We don't mourn anymore. We don't cry anymore. We don't repent anymore. What's wrong today? We have forsaken some things. The challenge. And, by the way, Brother Brian, we still got to preach it hard. And we got to preach it right. I don't care who gets offended by it. Amen. I'm telling you something. I'm not going to stand one day before them. I'm going to stand before my Savior and give account of what I preach. I've got to take and give account for everything I say. I've got to give an account for not warning them. Bible says the pastor watches for your soul. And if he don't warn you, and if he don't tell you, no matter how upset you get, he's going to be held accountable. He's looking for a crown that they give to the faithful pastors on the earth. It's not just about a crown because if he's a pastor, that's right. He realizes that Jesus looked upon the crowds and he had compassion on them because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. He saw them fainting along the way. He saw them in turmoil and he wanted to do something because those that have compassion make a difference. Why do I holler? Why do I pray? Why do I cry? And why do I try to give you my all? Because I want somebody to say, oh, he loves me. I know it's not what I want to hear, but somebody loves me.
Yes, sir, preacher. That's it right there.
Don't give your preacher a hard time. I know what it's like to get a hard time from people. He loves you. But there's no connection. Listen to me, young people. When mom and dad say you're in trouble, I know you don't get it because here's how we act. When dad said I was in trouble, I said, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. If dad ever said you're in trouble, you're in trouble. But today, I can't wait to get it over with. There's no connection. There's no connection. We don't see it anymore. And that's what the problem they had. You know, they said in verse 4 and 5 there, in Judges chapter 2, we're going to do right. And they did verses 6 through 9. Verse number 10. Didn't know the Lord. Guess what they started doing? Serving Baal. Verse 13, they got Baal and Ashtaroth. Yeah? Why? What you say, God? I just don't feel like it. Sometimes I wish God would just when we say I don't feel like it, he just go, BAM! Somebody need to get back to understanding the consequences. Achan.
Come on. Yeah.
We read about Achan, and guess what? Oh, well, just a Bible story. Let me tell you something. Those things were written for our example, for our learning, so that something would be created in each one of us. What's wrong? I tell you, Brother Brian, challenge is gone. Listen to me. You said tomorrow, Wednesday night, for teenagers, soul winning, right? Get your little behinds out here and go soul winning.
Amen.
Well, I just don't, listen, and I know sometimes I say things, by the way, half the people don't like what I say. I got to be honest with you. Again, I didn't go to the seminary. I mean, the seminary. Amen. And I didn't learn to be refined. Now, listen to me. I hope that my disposition don't get you to stop thinking about the position I've taken according to the word of God. My disposition may not be right. My wording, matter of fact, I'll go home to the room tonight and I'll say to my wife, I shouldn't have said that, should I? And she'll say, watch this, because I know what some of you thinking. She'll say, it'll be all right. They'll get over it. I'm glad I got a wife that understands that I may not have all the coof in the world, but I'm trying to get of all of Christ that I can. Amen. And if I can preach it and if I can give it to you, hey, you'll be better off with me being uncouth than being politically correct. I don't mind. I don't want to be politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. Amen. They're forsaking the challenge. They're forsaking the connection. Listen to some words here. All souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son. The soul that sinned, it shall die. Right. Listen to this. For the wages of sin is death. Listen to this, if you would, please. In James chapter number 1, James chapter 1, the Bible says this in verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth.
Yes. Yes, sir. There
you go. Right. See, listen to me. I'm trying to help you with this thing about the connection. Sin when it is finished. Did you read the Bible? Sin when it. Well, who is the it? Sin is. Sin when it is finished. Well, when I get ready, I'll get right with God. God said, I appreciate that. But sin ain't done. I'll give you the illustration again. A one-night stand. But 9 months later, sin say, I wasn't done. One night of a joint. But sin say, 5 years later, I wasn't done. Alcohol, I take that first beer, that first sip, but sin would say, I wasn't finished. I'm going to make you a drunkard.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes, you say, well, I'm going to quit beer. Hey, sin say, I got your liver. You don't get it. There's no connection between this. God says, you're not in control of the outcome. Oh, you can make the decision, but I've got the outcome right here in my hand.
Yeah.
Sin when it is finished.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
That's why some adults are running around here right now saying, I hope they don't find out. I hope they don't find out. I hope they don't find out. And they stopped doing that long time ago. But they still saying, I hope they don't find out. Why? Because sin say, I ain't finished. Help me, somebody. What's our problem today? I'll tell you what our problem is. Not only is there no connection between disobedience and consequences, and the challenge is gone there. Please understand there's no connection when it comes to separation and the world.
Come on.
You say, what do you mean, preacher? We don't realize how much the world affects us. The Bible said they didn't drive him out. 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 What did they do? They made him tributaries. They made him pay taxes to him. When you don't drive them out, they're gonna soon somehow get in there and start affecting you more than you know. Write it down. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good. Didn't just say manners. Good.
Right.
Write it down. Nehemiah 13, verse number 24. Matter of fact, turn there if anybody can find it. Nehemiah 13, 24. Nehemiah, I gave this in Sunday school. I want you to see I wasn't making it up. It's in the Bible. Nehemiah 13, 24. Listen, what kind of print is this? Says that, and their children spake half in the speech of who? Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. That's the reason why when our kids come to church, again, I don't mind you looking good. Obviously, you can tell. I'm not saying that everything that's new is just totally worldly fashion. But I'm saying, understand something. We don't need our boys coming to church, like I said, with their britches down the hill. I don't want to know if it's Hanes, Fruit of the Loom, or whatever you got on. Amen. I'll say it myself. Thank you, lights. That's good preaching. Appreciate it. It's time for amen. We need boys to grow up to be men.
Amen. Right.
Not little punks on the street.
Amen. Yes, sir.
They grew up speaking the language of Ashdod and couldn't even speak. They don't know Bible language. Thank God, young man, you found it, Nehemiah 13, 24. But half of us don't even know where Nehemiah is, Nahum is, Zechariah is. But we can show enough, sing to you. Britney Queers again, I say. Madonna, Boys the Men, all of the other freak shows that are out there.
Come on, say it again.
Know all the latest dances.
Right? Come on.
Yeah.
And we mumble through Amazing Grace. What's wrong today? We don't believe there should be some separation.
Right.
And because we don't understand it, we don't realize we've missed out from 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, where he says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. He understands. He said this, and then I can be that father to you.
That's right.
See, my father don't hang out on the block.
That's right.
My father hang out in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
In order to get to heaven, you got to get off the block. Amen.
Amen.
You got to start stepping on holy ground.
Amen.
Man, what's our problem today? I'm almost done with the first point. Look, if you would, please. Man, I hope you get this. You've got to get this, what God is trying to say. Look at Judges chapter number 2. Judges chapter number 2. Verse number 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They did evil in the sight of the, Everything is there on purpose, brother. They did evil in the sight of the, you know what? How many of you believe God is omnipresent? That means everywhere, all the time. Good. So guess what? When we do evil, we got to understand if he's omnipresent, we do evil in the
sight
of the Lord. So when we do evil, Chad, here's what we're saying. God, did you see that? Oh, yeah, I know you saw that. There's no ignorance in this thing anymore. You here in church, you know God is omnipresent, omniscient. He knows it all. He's omnipotent. And we just look at him and say, what you gonna do to me? Now, I understand something, even as I preach it. One of the reasons why I move around, because I'm afraid that when he was going to strike the lightning from just preaching, it'll be over there and I'll be over here. Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm not taking it lightly what I'm saying. I'm telling you, we look at God and say, God, take that.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right.
Did evil in the sight of the Lord. No connection here. Sin, who cares? I've been disobedient. I have not separated. Let me just help you if you don't believe God sees it. Is it all right, brother, if I just sit here for a second? Just, okay, good. Because sometimes when you sit on stuff like, that's furniture in the church. You shouldn't do that sort of thing. Well, guess what? It's the brazen serpent, and we just took it down. That's Bible too, amen. For the ways of man, Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Didn't say a few, but all his goings. Write this one down. Job 34, verse 21 and 22. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his going. There's no darkness, no shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Jeremiah 16, 17. For their eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. When are we going to realize that? Man, when evil comes our ways, we ought to be saying, out of here. Exit stage left, stage right, stage anything. And by the way, God says, I've given you a way. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Now, all of us have sinned to come short. But God said he is faithful and he's given us a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Amen. God said you can handle this. Well, I give you a way of escape. He wrote to Timothy and said, too many of us are denying the power thereof. The power to overcome things or not. Somebody help me. What's the next thing? What's wrong? Why this church won't be here? I'll tell you why. Because this generation won't consecrate themselves for service to the Lord. They'll consecrate themselves to some of everything except for to the Lord. What's going on today? Well, Billy Bob's got a game today. You knew I was. You must have been looking at the outline or you wrote it for me or something. I'm not sure. Billy Bob's got a game today. And we got to make his game. Yeah. Wasn't Billy Bob concerned about his lost friend? And his friend's not going to get saved out there throwing a ball, kicking a ball, running on a field. Maybe he can give him to church. Maybe he don't know how to share the gospel, but he can give him to church. And if his heart can again get touched from, I don't want to get ahead of myself, from the time he got saved, then maybe he'd be more concerned about his friends who are not saved. We don't, listen to me, but we'll give ourselves, by the way, let me just help you again. I don't want to have you saying I'm making this stuff up. Look at verse 11 again. Last two words of verse 11, they what? Served Balaam. Verse number 13, they forsook the Lord and serve Baal and Ashtaroth. God said, you'll serve any other god, but you just won't serve me. In the book of Jeremiah, he says, it's a shame that the only people that turn from their God is the children of Israel. All the other ones got gods that cannot see, gods that cannot hear, gods that cannot talk, gods that cannot help, and they're staying with their gods. But us, you'll turn on me in a minute and serve others. Why? Because my everybody else is doing it.
Yeah, come on.
Everybody else is not. I'm not doing it. Your preacher's not doing it. The youth pastor's not doing it. Some of these parents in here are not doing it.
Amen.
And it's time for us to tell our kids, you're not going to do it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, if I do that, then they'll one day they'll just leave the church and leave God altogether. Okay, so instead of letting them leave at 18, you let them leave at 12.
That's right. Come on.
Amen.
Yeah. Quiet.
And by the way, they won't leave if you do what the Bible says. The Bible says, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he old, he would not depart from it. Now, here's our problem. What we want to do is we want to take Billy Bob. What's your name?
Chuck.
Billy Bob. And we want to tell Billy Bob, you go that way. But we're going this way.
Yeah, right.
Stop, Billy Bob. We want to act like here, this is the way we train kids. You do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Come on back here, Billy Bob. Let me tell you what he said here, Chad. But here's what God said. Train up a child in the way he should go. When you train a child, you show a child. You direct a child. You go before the child. Amen. I was in the Navy. I was in boot camp. And every time they got ready to show me something, they got up, that CC, and them RPOX, and they said, this is the way you do it. This is the way you go. This is how you say it. This is what's to be done.
Amen.
I didn't after a while, because I was used to the path, they said, now you go do it. Oh, you're doing it wrong. Come on back here. Let me show you again. Let me show you again.
That's right.
Tell you why our kids don't know how to go the right way, because they don't have leadership going that way.
That's right.
You know, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little confused right now. I'm supposed to be here preaching to help, but I almost sound like I'm a pastor somewhere.
You're doing good. That's right. You know what you're talking about.
This is our problem. We don't train kids. We like to send them.
That's right.
Thank God for parents that send them on the buses. But I praise God for parents that come with them on the buses. Thank God for parents that let us pick them up. But I thank God for parents that drive them in. Amen. Let me get going here. They had forsaken some things. Number two, they had forgotten some things. Look at verse 12, if you would, please. Verse 12. Man, I got so much to say, but I know I can't keep you here for the next 3 months. Judges 2, verse 12, and they forsook. Oh, Lord. They forgot some things, but they have forsaken some. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Brother Brian, you said something about God being a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. They forsook. They had just forsaken some of the training, Brother Little. They had forsook the Lord himself. We see that. They started serving Baal, and after we know that. But God said, I want you to get it down. They just left me. They just left me. They just left me. Who did they leave? I won't get into it, but they left deity. Real deity. But I'm telling you something. They left the God that had done something for them.
Right. Amen.
What did he do? He brought them out.
Amen. That's right.
He brought them out. We sing the song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And one day you went under the fountain. There is that fountain. You went under the fountain of the blood of Jesus, and all your sins were washed away. And now instead of going to a Christless hell, you're going to a glorious heaven. But God said, you've forgotten that God that did that for you. You want to know what keeps me doing some things right? In the morning, I get up and I say, God, thank you for saving a sinner like me. I don't stand like the Pharisee said, I'm glad I'm not like them. I don't stand as the pastor of the church said, I'm glad I'm not like them. I stand like those sinners asking for mercy from God and thanking for mercy from God and thanking for the grace of God for saving a sinner like me. I was a young boy when I got saved. But I knew I was a sinner. I knew I had the sin of disobedience to mom and dad. I knew that, Brother Brian. I knew that. I knew that. And I knew that one sin that I understood. That's all I understood when I got saved. I knew that one sin I deserved to die and go to a burning hell. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'll never forget coming down the aisle one Sunday morning and telling the sinner, the preacher, I want to take and get saved. He said, what do you want to do? I said, get saved. He said, how you get saved? I said, join the church. He said, you don't join no church to go to heaven.
Amen.
Thank God he said that to
Amen.
Me. God had thought that was the way. Like something baptism is the way. Something Lord's Supper is the way. But he sat me down and said, you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, you deserve to die and go to hell. And Jesus died for you, though, boy. He died for you so you won't have to go to hell. And I knew I was a sinner. I knew I disobeyed Mom. I knew what he was talking about. But here's what he did that Sunday. He sent me home. Sent me home, and all week I kept saying, I'm going to die and go to hell. I'm going to die and go to hell. Next Sunday morning, Brother O'Neill, I came down that aisle. He looked right at me and said, what you doing up here this Sunday? I said, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus Christ to save me from my sin.
Amen.
He said, okay.
Amen.
I'll never forget it. All week I could feel the flames of hell. All week I could see myself in torment. All week I knew about the pain of that terrible place.
Yeah, I remember that day.
But I got saved. I know who brought me out. I know who delivered me from bondage. I know who gave me a home in heaven. God said, we forgot what happened. And I'm telling you, some of you sit here because you don't remember.
That's right.
I'm not talking about the day or the time even. But the first time I got born, I don't know nothing about it. But the second time when I got born again, I know everything about it. If I was to ask you to stand up here and talk about getting saved, what would you say? Well, I'm a sinner. I deserve to die and go to hell. But Jesus died for me. You take that on back to the streets. You need to get up here and understand. You are a sinner, and you recognize hell was your home.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Too many of us again. We got the word. Listen, I believe, and I heard the prayer. Somebody in here might not be saved, and I believe that years go by before people get honest about it.
Amen. That's right.
Can I testify? I'm not asking y'all permission. I'm asking my wife now. I preached, Brother Brian. I preached, and I think you may have shared it here this week, right? And I preached and I preached and I preached. And I preached the message about the wheat and the tares. I talked about that day of separating when God said he'd be able to identify. None of us know. And there was a young lady sitting on the front row that Sunday. Came up and slipped me a note. And it said, I'm not going to hell for anybody. Nobody knows, but God knows.
Amen.
People may believe one thing, but God knows another thing. And I'm telling you, when I got the note, I looked up and I saw who it was. And I'd say every week, I don't care who it is, not saved. I don't care if it's my children. I don't care if it's my wife. I don't care if it's one of the leaders in the church. If you get saved, I'm going to have a good time up in here. And I looked up September 21st, 1997, having preached the gospel already for almost 10 years. My dear wife, who I've been married to, said, I ain't going to hell for anybody.
Amen.
That little old music confession of faith I made when I was 9 wasn't real. And I'm going to tell you, Brother O'Neill, I looked at the church. And I said, I know I'm your pastor, and my wife just got saved, but if you fire me right now, I don't care. Heaven is our home.
Amen.
You can laugh about a preacher's wife getting saved after preacher been preaching. I don't care.
Right. That's right.
But you go ahead on and die and go to hell pretending.
Right.
Somebody in here tonight's not saved.
That's right.
You've been pretending a long time. Miss Josephine Fregoli one day came to me and said, "Preacher, at 18, I went out as a missionary to an Indian colony to teach those Indians how to read and things. Preacher came through preaching our church and said, 'We're looking for missionaries to go out and help us. We need people from the church. We don't just want anybody. We need people from the church.' So Mrs. Josephine Fregoli at age 18 went out to be a missionary to the Indian colonies. She came back a little bit later on from being that missionary to settling down in Reno, Nevada. She started becoming a principal in the school system. She even wrote a book for the state of Nevada on history. She got a school named after her. But she came to me and said, 'Preacher, when I was 18, I just wanted to teach, and I ain't know anything about Jesus.' She said, 'Since you've been preaching, I know I'm a sinner deserving hell, and I want to be saved.'
Amen.
Went out at age 18, got saved at age 84.
Amen.
I baptized her. She was stooped in the back. Took three of us to get in the baptistry. I said, 'Miss Fregoli, you're saved. You don't have to get in.' She said, 'Jesus did it. I'm going to do it too.' Took three of us. We done. Hey, by the way, I ain't lying either. This ain't a story made up to make you feel good. Miss Josephine Fregoli is sitting down right now and with Jesus Christ rejoicing over the fact a preacher kept preaching, making hell.